In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, as we begin our prayer, we always ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. And we are thinking in principle of this half hour of meditation that we are doing now, talking with you in our own words, meditation, mental prayer. But we are also in another time of prayer, which is Lent. This time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in preparation for the feast of our redemption and your resurrection. Help us to make Lent fruitful. And we can open the Gospel of St. Matthew to the 4th chapter, where you go out into the desert for those 40 days before beginning your public life. And we read, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he was hungry." And Lord, it's your 40 days of fasting and prayer that give us these 40 days of Lent. And at the end of those 40 days, of course, you were very hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And Lord, that temptation, the devil is there to tempt you. If you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. And you were hungry. That might have been a strong temptation. But what is your response? He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And you resist that temptation because, of course, you are God, but also as man. And being hungry, you had prayed, you had fasted, you had strengthened your will. And then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Throw yourself off this temple. The angels will bear you up, you say to the devil in response to this temptation to throw yourself down. Again it is written, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." This was a foolish temptation on the part of the devil, because, Lord, you are the Lord of all of creation. You had made it out of nothing. The devil could not give you the kingdoms of the world. You were already the king of the universe, and you should fall down and worship the devil. Everyone else should worship you. And so you reply, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And Lord, what a lesson you give us. We too are tempted. But if we pray more, if we fast more, if we live Lent better, we will be stronger. We will be more in love with God. We will have more grace. We will have more willpower to resist those temptations. And when we think personally of the temptations that we have against this or that virtue, many temptations or fewer, and the number of times we fall, we can ask ourselves, if I prayed more, if I fasted more, I could resist those temptations more. Help me, Lord, to be more prayerful, more mortified, and then I will resist those temptations more. And this is what we do in Lent. We pray, we fast, and we live that almsgiving, that charity with those around us. With all of these means, we are stronger to resist temptations. Help us to live Lent well. Another consideration. When are you going to call us to eternal life? We have no idea. If we knew, it might not be a good thing. If we knew we were going to die in 40 years, or 50 years, or 10 or 20, we could be tempted to relax and say, I don't need to quicken my pace now. I have 10, 20, 40, 50 years. When I get towards the end, then I will take this all very seriously. But Lord, we don't know. And that's much better for us. You could call us tonight, tomorrow, in an accident, with a heart attack. We need to be prepared always. And that's why Lent is so important for us. Every Lent might be our last. Every day, for all we know, might be our last. Help us to live this time well. Now is the time. And we open the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians to the 6th chapter. And we read, working together with him, and that is Christ, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And Lord, for all we know, it is the day of salvation, the day you call us to eternal life. Now is the acceptable time. Let us live this Lent well, because we don't know how much longer we will have to live. And let us live not only Lent, but each day in Lent, each moment of Lent, listening to you. What are you asking of me now? And it will be to get out of bed, to live that first penance of getting out of bed, that first little sacrifice. Throughout the day, you are whispering, you are shouting in our ear, do this, don't do that. And this is the spirit with which we should live always, but especially now in Lent, listening to you, doing what you ask of us. This is sanctity. This is happiness. And it's interesting that the very name Lent in English comes from an old German word, Lenten, meaning springtime. In other languages, the Romance languages, the word for Lent is based on the number 40, Quaresma, Quadragesima in Latin. But in English, it's based on the word for springtime, and it's an appropriate word. On the one hand, because in the Northern Hemisphere, Lent comes in the spring, but also because in a real way, if we live Lent well, we have a springtime in our spiritual life. We blossom, we bud, there is new growth. If we live Lent well, by Easter Sunday, we are much closer to you. We have improved spiritually and humanly. We are a better person on Easter than we were on Ash Wednesday. Lord, so many reasons to live Lent well for ourselves, for our relationship with you, our growth in holiness, but also for so many other people who depend on us. If they see us more joyful, more with faith, more with self-discipline, they will be drawn to that. It is an attractive example in this godless pagan world. People are drawn to goodness. They will be drawn in some way to us in spite of us. Or better, they will be drawn to you through us. And if we live Lent well like this too, in a sense, every day is Easter. Every day is the resurrection. The resurrection to a new life. We have come alive. We are better. We are more filled with faith and joy and love every day. We don't have to wait until Easter to find that joy. We have it every day, and we see it especially at night when we examine our conscience. We look back on this day, and we will be able to say, Lord, thank you. Today was a good day. Today I overcame my reluctance, my laziness, my self-indulgence. I gave myself more to you. I am a better person for it. There's a joy in doing that. And we know that conversely, when we look back on a day and we see that we were lazy, that we were self-indulgent, that we were selfish and proud, we're not happy. We're sorry that we didn't make more effort. Help us to live each day well so that each day can be an Easter. And we live, as we say, those traditional three areas of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And they are all important. Let us read some words of Pope Francis, speaking in his homily on Ash Wednesday in 2019. Almsgiving, prayer, and fasting bring us back to the three realities that do not fade away. Prayer reunites us to God, charity to our neighbor, fasting to ourselves. God, my neighbor, my life. These are the realities that do not fade away and in which we must invest. Lent, therefore, invites us to focus, first of all, on the Almighty, in prayer, which frees us from that horizontal and mundane life where we find time for self but forget God. And Lord, let us pause there before we go on. We too can push you out of our life, get so absorbed in the things of this world, our activities, our plans, our family, that we forget you. But in Lent, we intensify our life of prayer. We focus on the Almighty, on you. And that frees us from this horizontal and mundane life that otherwise we live. It then invites us, the Pope goes on, to focus on others. With the charity that frees us from the vanity of acquiring and of thinking that things are only good if they are good for me. It frees us, in other words, of that self-centeredness that we all have. In Lent, we think of the others more. We live that almsgiving, that charity, which unites us with others and helps us to forget ourselves, to trample on our own comfort while we give ourselves more to others. And finally, the Pope continues, Lent invites us to look inside our heart with fasting, which frees us from attachment to things and from the worldliness that numbs the heart. And that is so important too. Fasting frees us from that attachment to things, to food, to our devices, to television, to our relaxation, our worldliness, in a word. And this numbs the heart. We want to free the heart to love you. And so the Pope concludes, prayer, charity, fasting. Three investments for a treasure that endures. And Lord, truly a treasure that endures. Treasure stored up in heaven, not on earth. And we can go back to St. Matthew's Gospel, where Lord, you are in the Sermon on the Mount, and you say, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Lord, help us to have our heart in you, our treasure in you, and to store up that treasure in heaven by all these deeds that we will live now in Lent. So important. And these three, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, are a unit. We read some beautiful words from St. Peter Chrysologus. There are three things, brethren, three, through which faith stands firm, devotion abides, and virtue endures: prayer, fasting, and mercy. What prayer knocks for upon a door, fasting successfully begs, and mercy receives. Let us pause there. Lord, we are begging you for so many favors for us and for others. But fasting successfully begs. When, Lord, you see us making that extra effort, that sacrifice, you are more inclined to give us what we are asking for. And mercy receives, our kindness to others, our generosity with them. We are merciful to others. You will be more merciful to us. And so St. Peter continues, prayer, fasting, and mercy. These three are a unit. They give life to one another. For fasting is the soul of prayer, and mercy is the life of fasting. Let no one cut these three apart. They are inseparable. If a man has only one of them, or if he does not have them all simultaneously, he has nothing. Therefore, he who prays should also fast, and he who fasts should also be merciful. He who wants to be heard when he petitions should hear another who petitions him. And Lord, as we considered, if we want to petition you for anything, and we have so many intentions, so many petitions that we raise to you, then we should listen to those who petition us, members of our family, colleagues of work, neighbors, asking us for this or that. Let us be generous in giving them what they are asking, and God will be more inclined to give us what we are asking of him. He who does not close his own ear to a suppliant opens God's ear to himself. The fasting man should realize what fasting is. If anyone wants God to perceive that he is hungry, he should himself take notice of the hungry. If he hopes for mercy, he should show mercy himself. And here we have that parable, Lord, that you tell, and we read it in Lent, of the rich man Dives and the poor man Lazarus at his gate. The rich man is feasting sumptuously, and Lazarus would like even the scraps that fall from his table, but the rich man doesn't give them to him. But now the rich man dies and he is in hell, and Lazarus is in heaven. And the rich man is going to beg for mercy. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm perishing in these flames. But he can't do that. The rich man didn't show any mercy, and now he's not going to receive it. And then he begs on behalf of his brothers. Well, at least send someone to my brothers to warn them, lest they come here too. But as God says, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. Lord, help us to live Lent well, to show mercy, to fast, and to be suppliant in prayer. And then God will be more inclined to grant us what we are asking when he sees our own efforts to listen to others and help them. Well, Lord, help us to live Lent well, to live all three of these, not just one, not just giving up something in that area of fasting, not just praying and begging you, as we will do throughout the year in any case, but living almsgiving, charity, and fasting at the same time. And how are we going to live Lent? In those three ways. and let us consider briefly how we can live better our life of prayer, our self-denial, and our charity. Many ways of improving our prayer life in Lent. If we are not constant, if we do not live every day those forms of prayer that we have decided upon in the past, perhaps our morning prayer, the morning offering, perhaps some night prayers before we go to bed, the examination of conscience at that time, to do some mental prayer each day, and we had started, but we have given it up, to resume, to say the rosary every day. If we were saying it before, Lent is a good time to take it up again, and especially if we are married or in a family, to do it with the other members of our family, because then we are praying together. To meditate in our prayer about your passion. It's a very good idea to take one of the four accounts of the passion in the Gospels and make our way through it slowly in Lent, reading a paragraph, praying about it, seeing how it teaches us, how we can put it into practice ourselves. We learn so much from this meditative reading of the Passion. Attending the Stations of the Cross in our parish. Many parishes have Stations of the Cross every Friday. We could attend those. Accompany you, Lord, in your passion on that way of the cross that we are now trying to follow you along. Attending Mass more often. How many thousands of people in our cities, in the big cities, are there in those weekday Masses in Lent? Many thousands. Am I one of them? Could I be? And let us be generous. Go to Mass more often, because we derive so much benefit from Mass. The very fact of our sacrifice to be there is pleasing to God. All of the prayers that we say along with the priest, and when the priest is praying and we are following them, we are praying. We are listening to your word in the readings. There may be a homily that helps us to apply those readings to our daily life. And above all, Holy Communion, where you come into our soul, you live in us, we live in you, we are other Christs, we are transformed by communion. Lord, help us to live Lent well in this area of our prayer life, that there be a new springtime because we are praying more and better. The second area, fasting, self-denial in general. Before we begin our consideration of possible ways of living this, we can ask ourselves, how mortified am I in general? How much penance do I live each day, not only in Lent? Because, Lord, you invited us along this way. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Lord, you weren't speaking only of Lent, you were speaking of daily. And we would be your disciples, but then we must follow you along your way. And your way is the way of the cross leading to the resurrection. And when we live Lent well, as we say, every day is Easter. Every day is the resurrection. Because we are denying ourselves, we are praying more, we are living more charity with others. And so how can we live this aspect of Lent of self-denial? Perhaps eating a bit less? Following a diet that we're supposed to live in any case, but we haven't been living regularly? Denying ourselves certain foods that we like sweets in the dessert after a meal, like chocolate, ice cream, soft drinks, alcohol, something that normally we would have, but now we're going to give up so that it is a sacrifice and we accompany you, Lord, along the way of the cross. Not eating between meals. Years ago, the whole church fasted every day of Lent. Everyone over 18 went without any food between meals for the whole of Lent, and then eating the one full meal and the two smaller meals, which is not difficult. But that might be our Lenten resolution. We won't eat anything between meals, and we won't eat such a big breakfast and lunch, and eat a little bit less. Perhaps when we come to dinner, we will be hungry. That's a good thing. Maybe we would do well to lose a little bit of weight, and Lent is a good time to do that. Not putting seasoning on food. We don't need to put salt on things that need it, or sugar, or other condiments. Go without that. It's Lent. It's a time for self-denial. Lord, you fasted 40 days. You're not asking us to fast totally from food. You did. But give up something. Not listening to the radio in the car. Not watching so much television. Not spending so much time on our devices. If we ask ourselves, how much time do I spend looking at my mobile phone each day? What is the answer? Checking phone messages, checking emails, looking at the news, looking at the sports results, checking Facebook and other platforms of social media, idly wasting time. Lord, help us to be more mortified with our devices, to cut back. This is a good form of fasting. And then almsgiving, charity. And this is the most important. We see this in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, where God complains to the people that, yes, they are offering their sacrifices, but they are not looking after the orphan and the widow. He says, is that pleasing to me? Well, Lord, it's not. We need to live charity, the most important. And charity begins at home. Yes, we can give money to charities, but let's begin by loving those in our family. Spending more time with our spouse if we are married. Listening, showing that we care. Helping them out with whatever jobs they are doing, not waiting to be asked. We see that they are busy. We see that they are tired. Maybe we ask them, you sit down. I'll do that. And if we are parents, looking after our children, the same. Listening to them. They want to tell us what happened at school. Maybe they are happy. Maybe they're sad. But that their parents listen, that we are not too busy for them. We must give them that time. This is to be a good father or a good mother. And with all the people in our life, our family first, our extended family, our neighbors, our colleagues of work, to be that kind, pleasant person that people can approach. We're not going to send them away and say, solve that yourself. We ask them, tell me, what is it you want? We listen. We give them whatever help we are able to give. We show them that we care about them. And asking them about their affairs. What did you do on the weekend? How is your wife or husband who you told me was sick? How is that person who's out of work? Have they got a job? Did your son pass his exams? So many ways we show genuine interest in them because we care about them. This is a splendid way to live the almsgiving, the charity. And then, of course, trying to be more patient, avoiding the outbursts of anger, any desire for revenge to anyone, forgiving. As Lord, you forgave us from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Give up complaining about anything, about how we feel in our sickness, about the weather, about the constant bad news, whatever it might be. Be pleasant, be cheerful, be optimistic. Not complaining, not negative, not dragging everyone around us down. We finish our prayer and we go to Our Lady. Mary, you accompanied Jesus at the cross. 3 hours you stood there watching your very son, who is God, who is innocent, spend his life to the end in that agony of crucifixion. And that cost you dearly too. The sword pierced your heart in all those moments, in those hours beside the cross. Help me to live Lent well, to accompany Jesus along his way, the way of the cross to the resurrection. Help me to be generous in living my life of prayer, my life of fasting, and my life of charity during this Lent, so that I have that true springtime in the spiritual life and I come to the joy of the resurrection at Easter. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.